Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 6 March, 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. How many of you are there? You're not in the right place. John, chapter 8. I know you're all in 2 John. John chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In our study tonight in 2 John, we'll be in verses 4 and 5. And there is a verse, and verse 4 says, a mandate, keep on walking in aletheia. The word walk, peripateo, means live your life. Live your life in the sphere of aletheia. A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia is absolute truth. Now, we know from the Word of God that God is absolute truth. Jesus Christ declared, I am the way and the aletheia. I am absolute truth. Jesus Christ declared, I am the way, the absolute truth, and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. The living and true God is absolute truth. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, in one of the great prayers recorded in the Scriptures, in John 17:17, as he prayed to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ declared, Father, sanctify them by means of aletheia, absolute truth. Thy word is aletheia. Thy word is absolute truth. Now, we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. And there's no greater demonstration of that than our nation, our society, our culture. It does not operate by absolute truth. It operates by lies. Now, God is absolute truth. The Word of God is aletheia, absolute truth. But who's the ruler of planet Earth right now? Is Jesus Christ the ruler of planet Earth right now? No, he's not. He will be when he returns at the second advent. Who is ruling planet Earth right now? The devil, Satan. Is he absolute truth? No, he's just the opposite. I had you turn to John chapter 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and in verse 44 he says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." There is no truth in the devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So here we have, first of all, God is absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. But the ruler of planet Earth is a liar and the father of all lies. God is truth. The Word of God is truth. Absolute truth. The Word of God says there is right and there is wrong. There is right and there is wrong. There is truth and there are lies. Our culture has bought the lies. We have a nation in apostasy, degeneracy, that is living by the lie. We're not living by the truth of the Word of God. We're a nation living by lies. And this is seen in woke. The woke inclusiveness. Include everything. But inclusiveness is evil and satanic. Tom Gilbreth has an article, Rewriting the American Mind. Who is rewriting the American mind? The ruler of planet Earth. Who's rewriting the thinking all over planet Earth? The ruler of this world, Satan. He says, the government of the state of Wisconsin sees certain words as offensive. So do I. But their list and mine are not the same. Theirs, the words that they think are offensive, are notorious ones like mother. That's very offensive. And husband. Oh, that's horrible. We have to change the vocabulary in our nation. And in education all over this nation, the vocabulary has been changed. In a proposed Wisconsin statute, the governor, Tony Evers, wants to replace the word mother with inseminated person. And replace father with spouse. If I called my mother an inseminated person, she'd slap me. For very good reason, said State Senator Andre Jacques. He went on to say that it was the best example of woke signaling that he has seen. The idea is to make the word mother more inclusive. Who wants to do that? The ruler of this earth, the liar, Satan. But for a word to have meaning, other meanings are by necessity excluded. Mother has always been an exclusive term. Throughout history, every language has a word that corresponds to mother, and that word has never included everybody. It's a precious word to most of us because it only describes a specific category of people. It's very exclusive. Not everyone gets to claim motherhood. And in all those languages, the word mother never meant inseminated person. The state calls this gender-neutral language. But being a mom is not gender-neutral. It never has been. The governor says that this wording is necessary to give legal certainty that moms, this is what he said, that moms are able to get the care they need. Really? He just used the word mom. That's an informal variation of the word mother. He uses those words because we all know what they mean. Since we know what mother means, it is not necessary to change the word in a statute. So far, the brouhaha is over one statute in one state, and it may not seem too important, but it's part of something much, much bigger. Green Bay's Fox 11 News reports Evers wants to change other parts of the law as well. One state Republican lawmaker counted at least 30 times mother has been replaced with a gender-neutral term. And father was removed out of more than 120 times. Our culture, our society is being changed as the language changes. And it's happening in dozens of important areas. In this case, the words mother and father are being erased in a statute about family and children. That's very significant. Those are divine institutions established by our Lord. In 1946, George Orwell wrote, "If thought corrupts language, language will also corrupt thought. The slovenliness of our language makes it easier for us to have erroneous thoughts, that is, thoughts that are lies." And who is the father of all lies, the ruler of this earth? As a society's language falls apart, so does its citizens' ability to reason and think clearly. Orwell was right about erroneous thoughts, thinking lies. arising from slovenliness of language. Consider this. In 2022, Fox News Digital asked many prominent politicians, including Senator Raphael Warnock and Governor Kathy Hochul, to give a definition of the word woman. They were unable to do so. During her confirmation hearing, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was asked what a woman is. What is a woman? She answered, "I don't know. I'm not a biologist." This is a gal on the Supreme Court. So now it takes a biology degree to know what a woman is? In this nation, the United States of America, how did we come to this point? As a society, we claim to honor and celebrate women. But how can we do that if we don't even know what a woman is? Sad to say, that's where we are today in America. All right, 2 John. You got your Bibles? Is anybody here without a Bible? Who would like to have a Bible? Turn to 2 John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. This is 2 John. 2 John, we have exegeted the first three verses, and they sound like this. 2 John, verse 1. The old man, that's the Greek word is presbyteros, the commander, to Kuria, the honorable, magnificent, elect lady, and her children, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth. And not only I, John says, but also all the ones who have all the other believers who have come to know the absolute truth of the Word of God. They also love your children with virtue love. Because of the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, which keeps on residing in us and will be with us forever. Verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from the source of God, God the Father, and from the source of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in the sphere of absolute truth, aletheia, the Word of God, and in the sphere of virtue, love. That's the first three verses of 2 John. In this we have grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from the source of God the Father and from the source of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Grace always precedes peace. In at salvation, the grace of the cross, Operation Grace, the plan of salvation that the Father designed, carried out by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ left heaven on that very first Christmas through the incarnation and virgin birth. The eternal Son of God took on true humanity. He took on true humanity because the plan of the Father was to go to a cross. And while the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on His Son, and judged them in Him once and for all. Having solved the world problem of sin, God now offers a gift. And that gift is eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So, grace always precedes peace. First of all, salvation, the grace plan of God on the cross, precedes peace with God, which is reconciliation, the removal of the barrier between God and man. In phase two, the believer in time, logistical grace provision precedes the peace of God, those greater grace blessings of spiritual maturity in time. And then phase three, those believers who live the grace provision of the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity, they will receive the peace of God in eternity. Great crowns and rewards given to spiritually mature believers at the judgment seat of Christ. So again, verse 3 says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from the source of God the Father and from the source of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And then the last phrase there, in truth and love. We have the preposition and plus the dative singular of aletheia plus the conjunction chi with the dative singular of agape. The preposition and plus the dative introduces the dative of sphere. The dative of sphere denotes the sphere in which something is done or in which something is true. Now there are two objects of the preposition and. That is, first one, aletheia, and secondly, agape. Object number one is aletheia. And there is aletheia. And aletheia is the Greek noun that means absolute truth. Aletheia describes the veracity, the absolute truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ declared in John 14:6, I am the way and the aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. And then the Word of God is declared to be aletheia. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the great prayer he offered to the Father in John 17:17, he said, Father, sanctify them by means of the aletheia. And then he said, your word is aletheia, absolute truth. So God is absolute truth, aletheia. The Lord Jesus Christ is absolute truth, aletheia. The Word of God is absolute truth, aletheia. Experiential sanctification then, and attainment of spiritual maturity is attained by means of the absolute truth of the Word of God. John 17:17. This is the result of consistently and faithfully learning and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God, growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 is a mandate given to all of us as church-age saints. Grow up spiritually. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. God the Holy Spirit also has a very special title. One of the special titles of God the Holy Spirit is that He is the Spirit of aletheia. He is the Spirit of absolute truth. That's in John 14, verses 15 to 17, John 15, 26, John 16, verses 13 and 14. So, for you to attain experiential sanctification, for you to grow up and attain spiritual maturity, demands living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, fulfilling the mandates of God's Word. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're going to attain experiential sanctification, if you're going to attain spiritual maturity, that demands living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And then the second object of the preposition and is agape, in the sphere of agape. A-G-A-P, long E, agape. And agape is the Apostle John's favorite word to describe virtue love. The believer who loves his fellow believer with impersonal love for all is abiding in the light. He's living in the light. He's living the spiritual life. 1 John 2, verse 10. The believer who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love for all is abiding in cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. 1 John 3:14. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We are living the spiritual life, and his virtue love has been brought to completion in our hearts. 1 John 4, verse 12. The believer who abides in virtue love abides in God. He's living the spiritual life, and God abides in him. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:16. So again, verse 3 says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from the source of God the Father and from the source of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in the sphere of absolute truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God, and in the sphere of virtue love. Now, we exegeted that, but we didn't pull it together. So let's pull it together here. One, if you want to enjoy grace, mercy, and peace, these great blessings from God, then you need to live your life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, and in the sphere of agape, virtue love. So if you want to enjoy these magnificent blessings that God has for you, grace and mercy and peace from God, then you need to live your life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, and in the sphere of agape, virtue, love. Two, you need to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and that is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, right here, your heart right up here. And how do you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart? As a result of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God that you have learned and believed. That's why it's so important to find a sound Bible teaching church where you can assemble and learn the Word of God. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Get a maximum amount of the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. So you need to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart as a result of aletheia, maximum amount of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. Three, the fact that these blessings, grace, mercy, and peace, come from God the Father and the Son, the eternal Son of the Father, affirms the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is the eternal Son of God. God is one in essence. He's three in personality, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have the same essence, the same attributes. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. Those attributes are in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is one God, one in essence, but three in personality, the doctrine of the Trinity. Four, grace, mercy, and peace, these great blessings are enjoyed in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God, and agape, virtue, love, brought to completion in the believer's heart. So grace, mercy, and peace, these great blessings, are enjoyed in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart, and agape, virtue, love, brought to completion in the believer's heart. Now that brings us to the next paragraph, verses 4 through 6. 2 John verses 4 through 6. And in this paragraph, virtue, love is the result of walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Virtue, love is the result of walking in the word. We're going to see the word to walk is peripateo in the Greek, looks like this. Peripateo. And peripateo means to walk around, but that's literally. Figuratively, it means to live your life. And this is what we have here. Virtue love is the result of living your life in aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God. So verse 4, I rejoice. We always start out with the thundering diction of the King James. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. This is the aorist passive indicative of the verb kairo with the adverb leon plus the conjunction ha ti, with the perfect active indicative of the verb heurisko, plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of technon with the definite article, and the genitive singular of the personal pronoun sou, plus the present active participle of our verb peripateo, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative of aletheia. First of all, we have the verb kairo. Looks like this in the Greek. That's C-H-A-I-R long O, kairo. A couple of things on this. Kairo means to rejoice. It means to rejoice. It means to be glad. It means to be pleased. Secondly, this is the verb for happiness. A verb for happiness. Three, kairo is also used as a formula for greeting. It was used as a form of address when meeting people. Point four, this verb kairo is modified by the adverb leon. L-I-A-N. Looks like that. Leon. And leon means very much. Very much. It means exceedingly. Now the Apostle John loves this lady. Her name is Nympha. He loves this lady so much, he calls her Curia. Now, her name is Nympha, and she lives in Laodicea, and the local church there meets in her home. This lady is a spiritually mature believer. She loves the Lord her God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And she has many children. And she has done a fantastic job raising her children and training them. She gave them the grace gospel. They believed in Christ as their Savior. She taught them humility, respect for authority, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. And they grew up, and her children grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And her children have become spiritually mature believers. And the Apostle John not only loves Nympha, he loves her children. They are also spiritually mature believers. And here is this Apostle John, and he's just saying, I love you, lady. In fact, he calls her Curia, not by her name Nympha. He calls her Honorable, Magnificent, Elect Lady. That's how he refers to her. You are the Honorable, Magnificent, Elect Lady. And this letter is to your children. You have done a magnificent job in raising your children, in giving them the grace gospel, in teaching them humility, the foundational virtue of life. That has to come first. First of all, there has to be a respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. Without that, you're going nowhere. You will go nowhere in the plan of God without that. That has to be there first. And this is very unusual epistle, very unusual letter, written by an apostle to a lady who is a spiritually mature believer and her children who are spiritually mature believers. So Leon means very much, exceedingly. Point five, the Apostle John was very glad, very happy to see that this elect lady children turned out so well. The Apostle John was very glad, exceedingly happy to see that this lady, Nympha, that her children turned out so well spiritually. They are all spiritually mature believers. The conjunction ha ti is a causal conjunction. H-O-T-I, causal conjunction, correctly translated because. And it introduces the cause or the reason for the Apostle John's exceeding happiness. And then we have the verb heurisko. Looks like that in the Greek. H-E-U-R-I-S-K, long O, heurisko. And heurisko literally means to find or to discover or to come upon. We have it in the perfect tense, heureka, where we get our word eureka, and that word is all over the West where there's mining. And heureka means I have found. I have found something. I have discovered something. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 235, tells us that the preposition ek plus a genitive is used as a partitive genitive in our verse. A partitive genitive. In the partitive genitive, the noun in the genitive, which is technon, children, designates the whole of which a part is mentioned, and therefore it should be correctly translated, some of your children. That's the partitive genitive. Some of your children. So she had, we don't know exactly how many children Nympha had, but part of her children, some of your children, they had great positive volition toward God and the Word of God. They have learned great humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. And some of your children have advanced to spiritual maturity, and they are walking in virtue love. They're living their life in virtue love. They're living their life in virtue love. That's the ultimate objective. This is the ultimate objective for each one of us with a short time while we're here on earth. It's made up of three parts. It's made up of personal love for God the Father. That's the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. Impersonal love for all. And third part of virtue love is occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becomes the greatest love of your life. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ makes Himself at home in your heart, and you enjoy Him moment by moment, day by day. That's the objective for all of us. That's the great plan God has for us. And then we have peripateo. There it is right there. And peripateo literally means to go about or to walk around. Generally, it means to go or to walk. But figuratively, it refers to the walk of life. The walk of life. And the preposition and plus the dative is the state in which you're living your life. And that state for Nympha and her many of her children is they are living their life in the state of aletheia. A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A. They're living their life in the state of the absolute truth of the Word of God. The active voice, Nympha's children are performing the action of the verb. The present tense is in linear action start. We would graph it like that. Linear action start means some of your children keep on living their life in the state of the absolute truth of the Word of God. And John thinks, that is just fantastic, Nympha. Not only are you a great believer, your children are great believers. And so he says, present tense, some of your children keep on living their life in the state of the absolute truth of the Word of God. So, corrected translation so far. I was very glad, I was exceedingly happy, because I have found that some of your children keep on living in the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's the greatest thing that can ever be said about anyone or your children, is that right there. I was very glad, I was exceedingly happy, because I have found that some of your children keep on walking, living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. And then it says, as we have received a commandment from the Father. That's God the Father. This is the adverb kathos plus the aorist active indicative of lambano plus the accusative singular of entele. Press the prepositional phrase para and the genitive singular pater with the definite article. The adverb kathos looks like this in the Greek. That's K-A-T-H long O-S, kathos. And kathos means as or even as or just as. And we're going to translate it just as. And then we have lambano, the verb lambano, which looks like this in the Greek. L-A-M-B-A-N, long O, Lambano. And Lambano, it's used in an active sense and in a passive sense. So first of all, one, in the active sense, it means to take, or to take in your hand, or to take hold of, or to grasp. That's what it's used in its active sense. Secondly, it's used in a passive sense, and that's how it's used in our verse. And then it means to receive, to obtain. That's how it's used in our verse. Three, it means to receive something from someone. And the something that we have received is a command. A commandment from God the Father. It's a mandate, it's an order, it's a command, and this command comes from God the Father. We have received an entele, a command, an order, a mandate, and we've received this command from the Father, from God the Father. So the corrected translation, I was very glad, exceedingly happy, because I found that some of your children keep on living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. Just as we have received the mandate, the command to do so from the Father, from God the Father. You got that? I'll give it to you again. I was exceedingly happy because I found that some of your children keep on living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God, just as we have received the command, the mandate to do so from the Father, God the Father. All right. One. This great lady. And remember, the local church in Laodicea, she had a very large home, and the entire local church met in her home. They met in Nympha's home in Laodicea. So this great lady, Nympha, has done a fantastic job raising and training her children. Fantastic job in raising and training her children. Point two. Am I going too fast for you? No? All right. Point two. That partitive genitive says some of your children. Some of your children. So we don't know how many children she had, but some of your children are living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. Three, so not all of her children were necessarily positive, and not all of her children have necessarily are living their life in the absolute truth of God's Word, but some of her children are. Four, even in the best of homes, there can be negative volition on the part of some and positive volition on the part of others. God gave us all a free will. We're free to believe in Jesus Christ. We're free to reject Jesus Christ. For those who believe in Christ, we're free to believe the Word of God. We're free to reject the Word of God. We have a free will. And there's two sides of that. Positive volition, making good decisions. Negative volition, making bad decisions. So even in the best of homes, there can be negative volition on the part of some and positive volition on the part of others. 5. Free will. Your volition is the key. God gave you a volition, a free will. That volition, that free will, that's the key. 6. Those children who are consistently positive and develop the foundational virtue of humility, those children who are consistently positive and develop the foundational virtue of humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, they will be motivated to make good decisions to live the spiritual life and to glorify God to the maximum. Those children who are consistently positive and develop the foundational virtue of humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, they will be motivated to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life, and glorify God to the maximum. And as parents of children in the home, you have a great privilege and a great responsibility. And that great privilege and responsibility is not only to give them the gospel, the grace gospel, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, but to teach them humility. That has to be first. That's the foundation. You have to have the foundation before you build the superstructure. No foundation, no superstructure. You have to have that humility. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. And Nympha's, some of Nympha's children had that foundation of humility. And as a result of that, they built the house. They built the house and they developed great personal love for God the Father. They developed great impersonal love for all mankind. They developed great occupation with Jesus Christ. And they developed plus H. They shared the happiness of God. All of that was developed because of their humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. 7. The foundational virtue of humility in the child's soul results in respect for 3 areas. Respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. So this foundational virtue of humility, what's the antithesis of humility? Arrogance. Who is the author of arrogance? The ruler of this world, Satan. He said, I will be like the Most High God. He fell. He was originally created a perfect angel. But he fell through arrogance and pride. And then he said, I will be like the Most High God. And he is the expert on arrogance. And he is currently the ruler of planet Earth. And as the ruler of planet Earth, he expresses his arrogance in lies all over our planet, around the world. In America, his lies are expressed, and they are arrogance. 8. Good decisions to live the spiritual life provides options for future decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, provides options for future decisions. Nine, however, bad decisions to live your life in Satan's cosmic system destroys those options. However, bad decisions to live your life in Satan's cosmic system destroys those options, and that results in divine discipline. Hebrews 12, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. When you make bad decisions to get out of fellowship with God, God disciplines you, but that discipline comes from His love. He loves you with infinite virtue love. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. He wants to bless you. God's plan for you is to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. But when you make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, you're going to crash and burn. God doesn't want to see you crash and burn. So He spanks you. Divine discipline. So, however, bad decision to live your life in Satan's cosmic system destroys those options, resulting in divine discipline. 10. Just because you have an adult body, that does not imply that you're a spiritually mature believer. Just because you have an adult body, that does not imply that you are a spiritually mature believer. In this paragraph, verses 4 through 6, 2 John verses 4 through 6, in this paragraph, the Apostle John is putting the spotlight on the positive children of Nympha and on the happiness, the exceeding happiness he, John, received witnessing their spiritual progress and their spiritual growth. So the Apostle John, in our paragraph, verses 4 through 6, he is putting the spotlight on the positive children of Nympha and the exceeding happiness that he has received witnessing their spiritual progress and spiritual growth. John is exceedingly happy because Nympha's children keep on living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. John is exceedingly happy because Nympha's children keep on living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. So verse 4 again sounds like this. I was exceedingly happy because I have found that some of your children keep on living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God, just as we have received the command, the mandate to do so, from God the Father. All right. Well, that gets us started in this paragraph. We have two more verses. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.